So today, I would like to make you all a job offer. And then when I'm done, you guys can let me know if this would be an attractive offer to any of you. So let's talk about the work. Well, it's outside pretty much all the time. In the hot sun and in the cold winter, all year round you're outside. You take care of smelly, sometimes uncooperative animals. You often have to sleep outside or in tents. So if you like camping, that might be a plus. There's a lot of travel involved. Sometimes you have to journey for days as part of this job. So you might ask, well, does it pay well? Well, that's the other issue. You don't actually get paid, or not in money, but you get to keep a small portion of the company's assets. Now, it's the least desirable portion of the company's assets, but it is still something. All right, last part. Workplace culture. Is management trustworthy and reasonable? Well, the boss is a liar who has been taking advantage of you for years, and it seems like every job offer he's given you has changed or has come with strings attached. So are any of you interested in this job? No, I don't think so. It's clearly not a fair offer, and nobody in their right mind would voluntarily take this job. Well, today, I would like to examine a story in the Bible of someone who took this very job. We're going to be discussing the story of Jacob, specifically the end of his service to Laban. But before we jump into the story, I want to first turn to Romans 12. And we'll start in verse 19. I want to identify the principles that are listed out here in Romans 12 that Jacob used to succeed in a job like this. Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's jump into the story of Jacob, where we will see how Jacob overcame the evil of Laban with good and did not execute vengeance himself, rather trusting God to do it for him, as described in Romans 12. So to bring everyone up to speed before we get into the scripture, Jacob, after having a falling out with his brother Esau, fled his father's house to go to his uncle Laban's. There he met Rachel, Laban's daughter, and worked 7 years for her hand in marriage. Laban deceived Jacob on his wedding night, instead giving him Laban's older daughter, Leah. This resulted in Jacob having to work another 7 years for Rachel. Now, where we're going to jump in, this second 7 years has ended, and Jacob's now seeking to leave from Laban's house and journey back to his homeland with his family. So let's pick up in Genesis 30, verse 25. Again, that's Genesis 30. We'll start in verse 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. So Laban, who had already lied to and betrayed Jacob before, now is asking for him to stay openly admitting that this is so that he can continue to receive God's blessings to enrich himself. He's admitting that he wants to continue taking advantage of Jacob right out here in the open. So what does Jacob do about this? Well, let's skip down to verse 31. So he said, Laban, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Jacob willingly enters into an agreement which heavily favors Laban. This displayed remarkable kindness and service, even in the face of obvious evil. So to use our workplace analogy here, Jacob agreed to receive no salary, instead getting a small, undesirable part of the company's assets, the spotted and speckled of the herd. Jacob knew that despite this, God would bless him and take care of him. So how did this end up? What was the result of this? How did repaying evil with good work for Jacob? Well, if we continue in, chapter 30 continues in verses 37 through 42, describing how Jacob took rods of poplar and put them in the water, and when Laban's flocks were drinking, and they gave birth to speckled and spotted offspring, which was a miracle from God. But let's skip down to verse 43 and see the conclusion of this sequence of events. Genesis 30, verse 43, thus the man, Jacob, became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Jacob got very rich. That small, undesirable portion of the company's assets grew into a fortune. These flocks would serve as the basis to grow his family and eventually father a great nation. Jacob overcame Laban's evil with good, and God rewarded him bountifully. Didn't matter that he didn't take a salary. God still took care of him. In addition to overcoming evil with good, Jacob left justice up to God and did not try to avenge himself on Laban. Let's think back to the conversation between Jacob and Laban in Genesis 30. Jacob was holding all the cards. Laban was begging him to stay and offering to give him whatever wages he wanted. Jacob was in every position to hurt Laban, to get back at him for any past injustices. He could have made a lot of demands because Laban knew he needed to keep Jacob around to continue receiving God's blessings. Jacob had been mistreated by Laban at that point for over 14 years. It must have taken a lot of self-control for him to not go into that conversation, guns blazing, demanding money, property, authority. Jacob could have asked for an exorbitant salary, some of Laban's land, maybe a more managerial position. But he didn't do any of that. Jacob trusted God to avenge him, and God did. So let's stay in Genesis 30, and we'll go back to verse 41. I mentioned this earlier, where Jacob was putting rods of poplar in the water when the animals would drink, and they would give birth to speckled and striped offspring, speckled and spotted. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, this is verse 41, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they may conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So this miracle, performed by God, effectively changed the genetic makeup of Laban's herds. All of his strongest animals were giving birth to speckled and spotted young, and only the weakest animals were giving birth to unblemished young. This change would likely have set Laban back many generations of breeding, as all of his best stock was given to Jacob. Now, I'm not a cattle rancher, but I bet if you talk to any cattle ranchers, they could explain to you how damaging this could be long term. So let's continue. Chapter 31, and we'll read verse 9, kind of concludes this portion of the story. Jacob here is talking to Rachel and Leah, his wives, chapter 31, verse 9. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In effect, that's what happened. Not only did Jacob end up with large herds of strong animals, good breeding stock, Laban's were decimated. Jacob trusted that God would avenge him. He didn't take matters in his own hands. Jacob deferred to God's righteous judgment and arguably ended up with a better solution than he could have manufactured or manipulated on his own. To conclude, I want to read one final section of this story. Let's stay in chapter 31, and we'll skip down to verse 38. We'll read through the end of the chapter. This is an account of Jacob and Laban's final meeting, and Jacob is able to at last express to Laban the reality of the events in this story. Verse 38. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Laban did evil to Jacob over and over and over again. Jacob overcame Laban's evil with good and left vengeance to God, who executed it justly. God watched over Jacob, saw all that he went through and the unfairness that he had to suffer. God punished Laban for this and rewarded Jacob, setting him up financially to grow his family, which would eventually become the nation of Israel.